Okay, Elizabeth, help me with the reading.
When the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left.
We have trouble, don't we? We know animals by the sounds. Oh, Anne, I didn't see you there. You're another cat person. You should have stood up. Well, okay, so someone tell me, who knows what sound, and I want you to do the sound, please. Who's ready? A sound a sheep makes. Who's ready? Who's willing to give me a sheep noise? Oh, there we go. We've got some sheep noises. Very good. And so as a contrast, who can tell me the kind of noise a goat makes? Okay. Can you tell the difference?
Nah.
So we got meh and a meh. I can't tell the difference. We don't have flocks of sheep and goats around, unfortunately. So this parable might seem a bit difficult, mightn't it? Anybody know the difference between a sheep and a goat? Hands up. Anybody got any ideas? Sorry?
Ask the animal, they'll know what they are.
Well, they have got different characters, apparently. Can we have the next slide? Here we go. So, everybody know which one's a sheep and which one's a goat?
That one's a sheep and that one is a goat.
Okay, yeah. So, look, here's the difference. I looked this up on the internet. Google will teach you everything. A sheep has wool, a goat has hair. Sheep's tail, I've never looked at a sheep's tail. Who looks at sheep's tails? But apparently they point down, and a goat's tail points up. That little hump, I guess, is what they're calling a tail, and it's pointing up. The nose is different. Who knew? There's a sheep has a distinct groove in the centre of the philtrum, which is here. Who knew? But the nose is different. But so somebody knows. Sheep are grazers, goats are browsers, and, you know, when I spoke to a sheep, I did find it very distant and aloof. I didn't want to know. Strong flocking instinct. Goats, they'll go off by themselves. This I found interesting. Sheep, most of them don't have horns, but if you do, they're curly horns down by the side. And goats, they most have horns, and they point upwards. And anyway, you go on YouTube, look for these things. Next slide, please. There's a 7-minute video, if you want to see this, that of shepherds, I don't know where they were, but they were separating sheep and goats. And I couldn't have done this. Amazing. They had sticks and everything, and the sheep were going one way, and the goats were going a different way. If you want to get bored, look it up on YouTube, sheep and goats. And it's incredible, the work that they do. And this is what must have been happening all the time. The people that Jesus was speaking to would have known this process, would have seen this separation. And this passage, this opening of the passage, shows us this man who washes his disciples' feet is going to return. He's talking to the disciples about the end of the world. He's talking about his return. And he's talking about people being separated just like that. That's scary. That's kind of stunning. Someone has this much power. Someone is drawing a line. One side or the other. That's an incredible thought. Next slide. We have trouble with lines and in dividing lines. And you may know I do like a game of football now and then. And who knows the offside rule? Can I explain the offside rule? Sorry.
The offside rule is when the last attacker needs to be behind the last defender of the opposition team.
And now, so we look at that, and what do you think? Is the attacker behind the defender?
He's offside.
He's offside. So you think that's a fairly easy line to draw? Next slide, please. You're right. You're right. But look, his feet were onside. His feet were onside. So, you know, I kind of think that he should have been onside because it would have been a penalty in the end and we would have scored. And I think it's terrible that VAR stepped in and said that Gabriel Jesus was offside in this instance. Complete injustice. Now, what I'm trying to say, we have a line in our heads that divides between good and bad. We call it a conscience. Is that a reliable guide, do you think, for your life? We draw lines. We say, oh, that's good, that's bad. And in our society, and it's always been the same, it's so hard because there's pressures upon us to blur that line. There's pressures within us which says, I don't like where that line is. I want it somewhere else. I want to do what I want to do. I don't really care if maybe other people think that line should be somewhere else. I want to draw the line. And this is a real problem because we find it impossible sometimes. I do. I don't know about you. I find it impossible to figure out who's a sheep and who's a goat. Not that I should be doing that figuring because it doesn't matter. I'm not VAR, am I? Jesus is VAR. Jesus draws the line. Jesus has the final say as to which way we go. Now, here we go. Next slide. I think there's some more reading.
Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
Incredible. Incredible stories about kindness. I think there's another slide. And you know, this is why we do CAP, because kindness matters. It's so important. Kindness doesn't matter because you're trying to reach some sort of goal or trying to stack up points. Kindness matters because we love Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. And as we saw with the washing of the feet, he gave us an example. He gave us an example of kindness. I'm hesitating whether to tell this story, but I'll try and do it. War is awful. War shows us man in as inhumane light as can possibly be. My father experienced war. He was part of a prisoner train marching to a camp and collapsed while he was in chains. And the process was, or the standard action of the soldiers was to unchain the prisoner and bayonet them in the back and leave them. So that's what happened to my father. Another Russian guard saw that my father was still alive. He was about 2 miles out from the camp, picked him up, put him on his back and carried him on his shoulders to the camp where he received medical aid and survived the camp. Joined the Polish army, fought through the Italian campaign, came to Great Britain to collect his Polish war pension and met my mum. So that soldier, in that act of kindness, was working it out, saved 10 people's lives. My father saved someone, was awarded a medal at casino. He saved an officer under fire. Me and my sisters wouldn't have been born as three That's four, sorry. Get emotional about this. Ellis, Netta, Tilly wouldn't be here, so that's seven. I've got two nieces and nephews, Ashley, Rachel, and Hoyt. 10 people who wouldn't have existed if he hadn't shown intentional kindness. You will never know the result of your intentional kindness. You will never know the impact that will have. But believe me, we looked at the reading. Immense impact. Whatever you did to the least of one of these, you did for me. Don't give up on kindness. Our culture doesn't celebrate kindness. It doesn't really want us to be kind. So many times, kindness is kind of out of favour. It's difficult. It's hard. What's the point of it? But don't give up on kindness. Let's finish the reading.
Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
And the last slide, I think. And I'm not going to answer this question fully, but I just want to ask the question, go home with this question in your mind. Why were both groups surprised? Why did one group say, "Well, when did we do this? When did we do this for you, Jesus?" And he said, "When you did it for the least of one of these." And then why did the other group think they were okay? Why did they think they were going to be the right side of the line? It's a scary thought, isn't it? Can we trust our consciences? I was thinking about this on the way here. Do you know, if you're thinking about drawing lines and being offside, I'd practically be in the other person's goal when someone, I mean, hopeless. The line is Jesus. We're so far off that line. And the only reason we can even talk about Jesus, think about Jesus, is because of his kindness to us. He went to the cross. He took our sins. He rose again so that we could enjoy his Holy Spirit and live in his presence. What kind of kindness is that? So we don't think about trying to get to a mark. We don't think about what it requires because we know we'll never get there. Jesus is our Saviour. Jesus is the kindness that inspires us to be kind. We're kind because he has shown us kindness. So that's one of the reasons. There's lots of other reasons. But think about that. Why were both groups surprised? I think that's us. We've gone well over the time I imagine we would. Phil, are you going to bring the offering for us? Thank you, mate.
One of the questions we would really like to know, isn't it wonderful to hear from CAP and all the work they're doing? But one of the questions we really like to know, I'm here this morning, and I was really touched by all that CAP is doing. How can I help? How can I walk along with what CAP is doing? Can you help us understand that?
Yeah. Pray. Pray for the ministry. Every week, we would normally see one or two people that won't be churched, won't be Christian, won't know anything about what it means to follow Jesus. It's a spiritual work, primarily. Yeah, we do get people out of debt, but we're forming relationships. We're praying with people. Pray, you know, for us. pray for our churches that we are willing and ready to receive people into fellowship. Pray that we figure out ways to do that more effectively. So prayer is the first thing. If you want to spend some time actually doing the work, very happy for you to come and ask. Those are the main two things.
Thank you. I think the word befriender has been used. And if you really don't know what it means, please take time to talk to the team. And they would really appreciate if you're able to give out some of your time to visit along with them. But then they are in the better position to explain what that means. And I think we all would agree that nothing of this work can continue without helping them financially. And as most of us are aware that we as a church support CAP each month. But apart from that, we also have few individuals in our church family who send money into our church accounts specifically for CAP. And we send that money to CAP. So if you're here this morning thinking, oh, I would like to support them financially, the code word, if you're depositing money, if you're transferring money into church accounts or you're tapping a card on the card machine, is CAP. If you give any money, and if you don't mention CAP, then we think, oh, that's an offering, that's for church. But if you're giving specifically for CAP, please use the code word. Code word is CAP, C-A-P. We also have an online portal. If you go on our website, if you go in about section, you would find a section where you can give specifically for CAP. If you want to set up a standing order for CAP through Counters Free Church, that's also a possibility. Please do come and talk to us about it. If you want to avoid all these things and if you want to give straight away to CAP, you can do that as well. But I think it would be good for us if you do it through church, because it also helps us to know and understand how much we are able to strengthen to what CAP is doing. Is that right, John?
Yeah.
Anything do you want to add on that?
No.
Thank you. Sorry for interfering. Nick, over to Phil. Are we praying for offering? Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for this lovely morning, for us to understand what CAP is doing, Lord. Lord, we want to pray that we just don't want to come here, gather the information and go home. But Lord, help us to see how best we can walk along with them and strengthen them in what you have laid on their hearts, Lord. We also want to thank you for the offering that we have received this morning, and all the offering that we have received in our banks and in various ways, that we as a church body strengthen this family, Lord. Bless each and every one of us, Lord. We want to thank you and we want to praise your name on high. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.